Well, good evening, everybody. We have a very packed house for what I anticipate will be a lively and fascinating meeting this evening. The speaker, Boris Berezovsky, has had a career that has spanned academe, politics, and business. And he's going to draw from that in speaking tonight on the subject of the new political map of the post-Soviet space. Boris Berezovsky is a mathematician by training in the Soviet period. He entered private enterprise in the late 80s and developed business interests in a number of fields: banking, oil, broadcasting, airlines, a very wide field of activity. And in the 1990s, he moved from that to official positions. He became a senior advisor to President Yeltsin at one stage, and he held the position of Deputy Secretary of the Russian Security Council at a time, as I remember, when the council was very involved in thinking about ways to deal with the challenge of Chechnya. He now lives in London, where he's been granted political asylum by the UK government, and is known as quite a vocal critic of developments in Russia, particularly under President Putin, in various areas, and I won't anticipate what he has to say on that. So I'm pleased to allow our speaker the floor to offer perhaps some 20-25 minutes of comments before general discussion.
Good evening. Thank you very much for your presentation. Thank you very much that you decide tonight, at this evening, to join me here. I joined you. Thank you very much. And I'm looking that all audience is packed, and it's just confirmed that advisors of President Bush are not so correct, saying that Russia does not play important role more in modern world. I know at least one who advised him according to Russia is concerned, Mr. Tom Graham. And I am sure that you are correct. Russia is important in spite of Russia transformed Soviet Union, Russian Empire transformed incredible for the last 20 years. And as I understand, the subject of our discussion today is the new political map of the post-Soviet space. First of all, I want to present you my position. My position: why Soviet Union collapsed, and why Soviet Union collapsed exactly in the way how it's collapsed. You know that communists in Russia, they said that Soviet Union collapsed because of Yeltsin and because of Gorbachev, and so. But for sure, it's a natural question: why Soviet Union, were they so genius that Soviet Union collapsed exactly in the frame of national boards of national republics? My understanding is that Soviet Union collapsed not because of strong external pressure. Soviet Union collapsed internally. And the reason why Soviet Union collapsed is that Soviet Union lost the competition with the more effective political and economic system. And even today, we understand well that Russia is still very strong. Russia has enormous material resource. Russia has enormous intellectual resource, and Russia has enormous geographical position. And today, when the world is transforming in general, not just Russia collapsed, but world transforming tremendously, we understand better and better that Zbigniew Brzezinski, who is my favorite politician, was absolutely correct saying that who control Euro-Asia control the world. and still now Russia is the center of Euro-Asia, and Russia is still one of the most powerful political, economic power of all over the world, no doubts. But Soviet Union collapsed not just because of the political and economic system were not so effective like market economy and democracy, but also because for the centuries the most advised part of Russian society, elites, didn't create the united nation, like united political nation, like for example Americans. And all the time Russian Empire and then Soviet Union divide people to according of religion and officially in the documents or according of nationality. And I think those two reasons, not enough effective political and economic system, on the other hand, not the problem of absence of united political nation. And those two reasons, as a result, collapse Soviet Union. And the question is what Russia got after collapse and what the world got after collapse. And I want to divide the result of collapse for two stages. The first stage is Yeltsin time, and the second stage is Putin time. No doubts that no one revolution able to pass without mistakes. And Yeltsin have done a lot of mistakes. And nevertheless, Yeltsin established the basic mechanism of democracy. Again, I just want to tell you my understanding what is the difference between democracy and autocratic or authoritarian system, just my understanding as a definition. I understand that authoritarian system is a centralized system, and democracy is self-organized system, when a lot of functions delegated to the different low level. And you know that before Yeltsin, all history of Russia for sure was authoritarian country, and Russia was maybe the last real Western mental country who moved to democracy. I mean Soviet Union in general. And Yeltsin, being absolutely homo sovieticus, and with all attributes of homo sovieticus, passing all steps, all stages, step by step, from the low level of Communist Party member up to the top, I don't know how, but he kept in his mind priority of freedom. And if you go through constitution, path through constitution of Russia, which was accepted in 1993, you recognize that all basic mechanism of democracy which exist in this country are written in the Russian constitution. And I think that the most important what was done in Yeltsin time, that millions of people made the first step to democracy. They recognize that to be independent is better to be dependent. It's very complicated because, again, I also was very successful in Soviet Union, and all the time I felt that I have some roof as a Communist Party who, in general, I never have been dissident in Soviet Union. Yeah, I just really, absolutely regular Soviet career and so, but I felt that I have this roof. And it's helped a lot. But on the other hand, every critical moment I should have asked the permission to go abroad, to let's say, to buy an apartment and so even to be divorced. I should ask Communist Party, is it possible or not? No, it's reality, yeah? And for sure, Yeltsin created the basic mechanism of democracy in Russia, independence of different branches of power, I mean parliament, court, and executive power, and not only on horizontal level, but also on vertical level, center, regions, and domestic power. And he created really independent mass media, I mean independent from state, what is the most important. Yes, they depend on owners, no doubts, like all over the world, unfortunately, yeah? But nevertheless, there are a lot of owners, not just one owner, who control everything. And for sure, Yeltsin created the basic condition for market economy in Russia. And I just want to tell that the West was very helpful that time for Russia, not so much like Russia need, but Clinton administration, for sure, they pay a lot of attention and pay a lot of understanding, even with Russian mistakes. And I think that the basic mistake which was done by Yeltsin and his team, unfortunately, maybe it's not even Chechnya war. And for sure it was a mistake, and when maybe you remember that Yeltsin left his position, he just asked to forgive him only for Chechnya, nothing more. But I think that that it was a basic mistake which was done, that we did not accept that our criminal future like German accept that fascism was criminal, and every German responsible for what happened, everyone without any exception. And unfortunately, Yeltsin thought a lot about that. And you know that even he started the process against of communism and so, and unfortunately we didn't reach the point of repentance. We didn't repent, and it's the reason why I think people mentally did not recognize what happened before. It doesn't matter they themselves or their parents, and what means freedom. But again, millions of people, compared with Soviet time, in Soviet time we had just maybe 1,000 independent people, so-called dissident. In Yeltsin, millions of people become independent, with a lot of problems, with a lot of difficulties, with a lot of blood and death, and so, but nevertheless. And then, as you know, Putin came. And I would like to say that Putin came as a continuation of Yeltsin regime. You remember this even so-called project in Russian? It means преемник. How correct to translate into English? Successor. Yeah, successor. Yeah. It means that he came to continue Yeltsin reform, but to improve mistakes which were done during this complicated time and so on. But from the very beginning, already starting and he became president in 2000, and from the very beginning he started to destroy the basic, the fundamental points of Russian constitution. I just want to remind you that already in 2000 he presented to the parliament four laws which allow him in general to fire governor, elected governor, for sure through prosecutor if he's criminal and so, but nevertheless after that a governor lost his independence and he started to depend just one man. Then as you remember the story with NTV, independent TV channel, then the story with ORT, half independent because 49% belong to me, and 51% and 51% belong to state. And you understand that for sure independence was state, and I was bloody oligarch who pressed the press. Yes. And then the story with the other TV channel, TV6, and so on. So, but step by step, I mean, the first step was to eliminate political independence. The second step was to eliminate mass media independence. And at last, he have done the logical, the third step, to eliminate the business independence. And case of Khodorkovsky is absolutely logical. And logic start not in 2003 when he opened the process against of Khodorkovsky. The logic start in 2000. Because every political system has a logic. And logic depends on gens, which you implement in this, that or another one political system. And it was clear that Putin start to change genetic code of political system. To return back, I just want to discuss how Russia was in Yeltsin time for the West, and what Russia become in nowadays for the West, and what Russia was for the CIS countries in Yeltsin time, and what Russia become for CIS countries nowadays. And if we discuss about that we recognize immediately that in Yeltsin time, Russia was a leader of democratic reform on the post-Soviet Union space. All post-Soviet space just follow Russia reform. Ukraine, Georgia, Armenia, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, and so on. In different way, no doubts. What we have today, Russia today almost at the end of democratic reform. And for sure today, Ukraine and Georgia are leading on the post-Soviet Union space with democratic reform. And the same relations with the West. If you remind that time, Russia step by step increase her position in as a friend of the West, as a partner of the West. And today is completely different. You may absolutely simple to watch a situation even today. Even today, Putin today had a press conference, and 3.5 hour press conference, and he had a lot of questions. And one of the questions was, "What is your understanding of a situation in the Palestine, Hamas, and so on?" And he said, "Russia never claimed Hamas as a terroristic organization," and its direct answer. I have this direct speech, and it's the reason why our position is different from the West. For sure, we disagree that Hamas doesn't want to accept Israel as a independent state, but nevertheless, we should continue to help to Palestine. Because, you know, he said, you know that some very aggressive power, if they become real state power, they change mind. Okay, but I don't know. Hitler example is absolutely different example from my point of view. I have a lot of the other examples. Now, I just want to tell that for sure today Russia is not a partner, I mean strategic partner, at least I mean in terms of strategy, is not a strategic partner of the West, to the opposite. And I think that situation in Ukraine, I mean this gas situation, demonstrate absolutely openly the real plan of Putin's Russia. And for sure, Ukraine is closer, and it's more simple to demonstrate power. I read even the article in the Telegraph, I think. Today Ukraine, tomorrow England. But I want to say that to the beginning, I will return back to the beginning and to say that Russia is playing, in spite of Russia is becoming weaker and weaker, but the world change very quick and change a lot, and Russia is playing more and more important role in the world. And if we now try to analyze how is quick China today, how is complicated become the Middle East because of a lot of mistakes of United States and Europe politicians and so but a Russian factor become more and more important. And that's the reason why it's so important to have Russia as a democratic country. And maybe the last point, what to do? Recently, I gave interview to France Press, which shocked some people in Russia and so. And I said that I don't see the democratic way to change existing regime in Russia, because I don't have any doubts that in 2007, when we have parliament election, and in 2008, when we have presidential election, it will not be elections. It will be nomination. And already today, Russia become as a fact, only one-party parliament. It's Единая Россия, because they have constitutional majority, more than 300 votes. They may change the constitution without any other different parties. And maybe the last point, I don't have any doubts that Putin, again, I don't want to discuss about him as a person. I just discuss all the time in terms of process and history. I don't know any example when dictator left his position himself. No, I have one example, Pinochet, yeah? Almost himself. And the result, he is almost in jail, yes? Even being 83 or 84. And for sure, Putin doesn't have any chance after what happened in Russia, after he collapsed the constitution of Russia, after he really destroyed nation, I mean Chechnya. I can just give you again the simple example that in Yeltsin time, Yeltsin started this, I'm sorry to say, stupid war, yeah? And terrible war. But I spent a lot of time in Chechnya. I was, as you mentioned, Deputy Secretary of Security Council of Russia. And 1.5 year I spent in Chechnya. And I just wanted to, for sure, Chechens hate Yeltsin. But they were sure that Yeltsin was fighting for unity of Russia, not against of Chechens. And that's the reason why Chechens ran away from Chechnya into Russia during the First War. During the Second War, the picture is completely different. They are sure that Putin fight against of Chechens themselves. And this is the reason why they are running not inside of Russia, they are running abroad. And I think that Putin understands it well. And as any dictator, he doesn't have any chance to leave power. I don't know which will be the way. There are many opportunities. Or to united Belarus and to create new state, but Lukashenko is a complicated guy and he doesn't want to be the second. Or what Putin again declared today in his press conference, it was a question about Abkhazia and South Ossetia, and he said, okay, why they are not able to be independent if some people discuss that Kosovo could be independent? Why they couldn't be independent? Independent, in his language, is to become part of Russia as maybe United States, yes? But again, it's allowed to change constitution and to have not the third term, but to have the first term, yes, in your country. But there are a lot of different other opportunities. If you have constitutional majority in parliament, an absolutely controlled constitutional majority, you may transform presidential republic to parliament republic and so. It's a lot of opportunities. But in any case, I don't see any chance for him to really leave the position how Yeltsin had done. Okay. It's briefly my understanding why Soviet Union collapsed, what happened after that, and what we have today. And nevertheless, I'm sorry, I forgot to continue. What to do? I think that no way to have real democratic elections, and it means that only force solution could change the regime in Russia. And as only I told that in this interview, they immediately said that Berezovsky is preparing the coup in Russia and so and so. And my position is very simple. There are two stages of force, of changing power by force. The first stage is to demonstrate and get a decision of international institutes that Russian constitution is broken by Putin and his regime. After that, all steps to recreate constitution become legal. And I think that it's already have done a lot that to show, at least on the West, that war in Chechnya, that cancellation of election of governors and so, are not in frame of Russian constitution, which was accepted by Russian in 1993. Thank you very much. Please, any questions? Recently I have a lecture in Eton School. Fantastic boys, and we discuss with you. And it was the most complicated questions. But when we finished, they crowded me and said, "Boris Abramovich, please buy Manchester United." And please don't ask me to buy anything, okay?
Okay. I'll take questions and wait for the roving mic. There's one up in the top back row on the right.
Yeah, and maybe the last. Please, simple English in questions, okay?
Yes, is there a mic? Yes, just that. Yes.
Yes,
and please be succinct and clear for our speaker.
Well, my idea is that Russia has not only oppressed nations within its territory, but also it's continuing doing so outside. And I'm talking about the particular situation of the Republic of Moldova and the troops that are on the Moldovan territory in Transnistria. And my question is, when do you think, if ever, Russia is going to remove its troops from Transnistria and comply with its international obligations and with the obligation especially following the Yalta summit in 2003? Thank you.
Thank you. You know that it's not just one really dangerous point after Soviet Union collapse. And I would like to say that Soviet Union was so complicated state which created in enormous historical time, and you know, even the story of Crimea, yeah, that Nikita Sergeyevich Khrushchev just present in general to Ukraine, that, yeah, and but what is important? Important is to keep like it is, because if we start to rebuild the states, post-Soviet Union states, it's nothing to compare with Yugoslavia happened. And I absolutely sure, because I in 98 I was a executive secretary of CIS countries, and I travel a lot, and I have been in Pridnestrovia and in Moldova, and so I'm absolutely sure that that Pridnestrovia is part of Moldova. And I'm sure that never Putin regime is able to accept that. Like they don't accept that Abkhazia is part of Georgia, that South Ossetia is part of Georgia, and so a lot of very sensitive points. And it's a reason why from the very beginning, when I become a member of, executive secretary of CIS, I recognize absolutely clear that in spite of Soviet Union collapse, Russia is still the most powerful country on the all this space, And without democratic Russia, impossible to solve this kind of complicated problems which were created by centuries. And I'm sure that that never Ukraine, let's say, will be quiet. Even Ukraine will become member of European Union. They will have enormous problem if Russia will be an authoritarian country.
Thank you. I'm building a short list at the moment, and I'll run down that first. Yes, you in the blue sweater in the middle.
Thank you for your speech. It was very nice to hear about Russia. But do you think you'll be able to return in 2008 after elections? Or if you don't know, when do you think you'll be able to return to Russia ever?
You know, I'm a genetic optimist. I'm sure that I return back to Russia. And it's one of the reasons why I didn't ask British citizenship here. I'm still Russian citizenship. But I got political asylum and so on. I don't have any chance to return back in Putin time. Like Khodorkovsky doesn't have any chance to be released in Putin time. But on the other hand, and I told about that, I'm sure that Putin regime will collapse soon. And we may discuss about the reasons, why I think so, what are the reasons of that. But nevertheless, one of the most important reasons today, for sure, is Caucasus area, and Russia is losing identity, and Russia is losing Caucasus area, and I think it's one of the most sensitive points for Putin regime today. Not only one.
Yes, it's in the middle at yes.
Добрый вечер, Борис Абрамович. Welcome to LSE. I have actually two questions. And first one, I had a lifetime opportunity to speak to your favorite Zbigniew Brzezinski at Congress Library in Washington in 2004. And I asked him a simple question about the future of Russia. And he told me, guys, you have a great opportunity to develop successfully straight after you lose everything, which is over Ural Mountains. So my first question is, do you yourself believe in disintegration of Russia? Or there is a chance that it could stay like subjects of federation stay together? The second one is, you were speaking about genetic code of system. And you said yourself that Russia, through like the majority of its history, was authoritarian. So is it that simple to change, especially people's mentality? And another thing.
It's the
part of a question. Like a lot of developers say that actually decentralization can be bad for countries in transition, which have a lot of internal problems. And speaking about Pinochet that you mentioned, a lot of people in Chile are still very grateful for him. Nevertheless, he was a dictator.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Clear. Thank you very much. I think it's the basic question for sure. Today, will Russia collapse or not? Will Russia will be disintegrated or not? I have simple, unfortunately simple answer. And you know that every simple answer is wrong. Yeah. But I have simple answer. If Russia will be authoritarian, Russia will collapse, no doubts. Like Soviet Union collapse. Now we understand well why it happened so, because it was a lot of internal tensions. And all mistakes which leaders of Soviet Union have done, maybe except of camps, Putin already have done. Recreation of vertical of power is absolutely critical for Russia. Russia is not able to be effective, managed through one center. I mean, what does mean effective manage? Effective manage in model world, because we had several centuries ago the world of monarchy. All countries were centralized, all power was centralized, and it was competition between centralized country and centralized country. But when we made the next step, and you're absolutely correct, this is an answer to your second question, the next step was means mentality. What means mentality? That power, that people were prepared to take limits which they were not prepared to take before, and state mechanism was limited after that. What I mean, that I'm sorry that we start to philosophy, but as I understand that for the last 2,000 years, we passed a great way to take it more and more limits to ourselves. It's just 10 commandments, but it's too complicated to take these obligations. And as more you take obligation, you may less delegate to the top level, to the state level. And as far you are, as much you are flexible, you're more effective. This is the point. And I think that Russia demonstrates that Russia is completely prepared for freedom. And I'm sorry that I answer so long, but I think it's very important maybe for you. I hope that it's important for you that Russian people passed through the first step of change of mentality. Russian people, a lot of millions of Russian people, like to be independent, like not to have more hosts who command and so on. But it's turned out that Russians were not prepared to fight for that. And even if you have democracy, like in this country, you should fight for your freedom every day. And when people go to street, and I watch here demonstration, 1.5 million. And I give all the time this example with maybe someone, one of you already present in my lecture and so. And when 400,000 people came to the street, fight against the law, which prohibited them to hunt with dogs against a fox, yeah? 400,000 people, yeah, came against of government. They demonstrate that they not only free, they prepare to fight for their freedom, for their understanding. In Russia, maximum 2,000 people came to fight against the war in Chechnya, where we lost 1 million people, Russian and Chechens. For sure, it's a big problem, but we have done the first step. People want to be independent. And if even today you watch discussion in Russian TV, even controlled by state, or in newspaper, you recognize that Russian discuss a lot about that.
Thank you. In the blue.
Mr. Berezovsky, I just wanted to pursue on the question of what to do. You obviously are an important player in Russia still today, not least in the media, one of very few through Kommersant and other publications. So what do you actually personally plan to do in the run-up to the 2007-2008 elections? You know, in broad terms, obviously. What would you like to see the Russian state like after the 2008 election? What do you see to be an ideal state after 2008 in your mind?
May I start from the second part of your question? Yeah. Four years ago, I wrote the article, or maybe even a little bit more. Manifesto of Russian liberalism. And I tried to express my understanding what could be ideal for Russia. And I think that that ideal for Russia for sure is democracy, and I clarify for five different subjects: liberalization. Liberalization of person, liberalization of society, liberalization of political system, liberalization of state construction, and liberalization of foreign relations and position in the world. Yeah, and I think that unfortunately we made this turn back. For sure, it's for short time, because I don't have any doubts that the time in 21st century moving at least five times quicker than in 20th century, and what we need, and for what we need in 20th century, let's say 4 or 5 years now, happen like that just in 1 year. For sure, it's clear why, because of completely new informational environment which we have, and cooperation in information on the information field. And I think that the most important is just to reconstruct, to return back to Russian constitution, because as I told you, constitution is absolutely correct. And now the question, how to do that? And my answer is, I don't see any chance to do it through elections. Okay.
there's a there's the hand patiently crying. Yes.
Hi. You seem like a patriot, and I think you try to come across as having an interest of the Russian people in your mind, first and foremost. I hope so, at least. At the same time, you focus very much on democracy and maybe bringing Putin down, removing him from power. My question is, what have you done to address more pressing needs of Russian population, like poverty, which is 25% of the population below poverty line, or other social issues like health?
Just want to tell you that I absolutely agree that, if I correct understand your question, I absolutely agree that it's very important to have a social program, and I just want to tell you that Soviet Union had fantastic social program, and really health capacity and education in Soviet Union was very good. But I think that the point is not now. No, it's very important, but it's not a basic problem, as far as my understanding is. The basic problem is to implement again the basic mechanism of self-organized system, which is democracy. Because this system is more effective than the other one, nothing more. I don't want, you remember this classical joke that democracy is bad, but nothing, unfortunately, better, yeah? And when I was in Russia, in Soviet Union, and I understand why democracy, why nothing better. Now I understand what democracy is bad. Yeah, but nevertheless, I am not able to propose something. And then the social condition, the life condition, as a practical result, as we know, become better and better. Yeah, I'm sorry, did I correctly understand your question or not?
I was wondering, what have you personally done to this end?
You see, in 92, I created the first charity in Russia to support Russian culture. Yeah, because maybe you remember Gumilev, the son of famous poet of Gumilev, he said that in every collapse time, the first damage culture take, yes? And on the other hand, the most complicated part of civilization is culture. It's the most complicated to create and the most simple to destroy. And in 92, I created the foundation to support Russian culture, and I spent around, for this year, I spent around 25, 30 million for that. And today we have, today this foundation is leader in choosing the best five people every year who create some, the most important for Russian culture. Not only for sure that, also I create the foundation for civil liberties in New York to support different civil institutions on the post-Soviet Union space, and I spend a lot of money in Ukraine.
I'm from Georgia, and the question is about Georgia. You said that Georgia, together with Ukraine, are leading in democratic reform. I want to ask about media. After the Rose Revolution, media has become quite controlled by the government. Most of the shares of two main TV companies have been bought by people who are controlled by the government.
And I spoke to one of the most famous journalists in Georgia who told me that journalism does not exist anymore in Georgia. So what's your comment about this and the exact steps forward in democracy in Georgia?
No, 2 points. The first point, again, I told before that every power, even democratic power, they try to increase their control. And only power who is able to limit that is society. Only power. And the way to protect this, only one, to go to the street, to fight against the government, yes? It's only way. As even in this country. But on the other hand, I have a very good friend of mine in Georgia. His name is Badr Katsashvili. You know him well, I'm sure. And he has absolutely independent from state. And as I understand, the rating is the first or the second. Imedia, the TV company, which, as I know, very opposite to the government. But I just want to tell you that I think that what is very important, to have not even maybe 10 independent from state national TV channel. In general, enough even one. Because independent one is able to compete with 10 state channel, because it's your choice what to watch. No, for sure it's not ideal, but at least. And again, as I know, it depends of the quality of the of society, not of the quality of government.
Thank you. I've got 4 or 5 people on the list at the moment, so I'll work down these and then we'll take more. So in the blue, yes.
Yes, I wonder if you could tell anything or something about your own role in creating Putin. You've been a great Democrat here tonight, but couldn't Putin also be read, so to speak, as a reaction to the anarchy of the 90s and people like you?
You see, as far as I start to present my position, not today, not after Putin took power, but after I got a big stake of share in ORT, it's 95. If you are really interested in, it's very clear to open the what I said in 95, and I was presented to you just now. I didn't change even in the word my strategy and my understanding of democracy. And I didn't become Democrat now when I left Russia in one day. Yeah, I really was sure that Putin will continue his what Yeltsin started to do. And I met Putin the first time in 91. And I knew him very well. And we're not friends, close friends, but we know each other well and we travel a lot together and so on and so. And you know that Putin was not just one person who Yeltsin watched to make his successor, yes? You know that Chernomyrdin after Chernomyrdin, Kiriyenko after Kiriyenko, Primakov after Primakov, Stepashin, and at last Putin. And I am sure 100% even now that Putin is just simple betrayer. What he promised to deliver to Yeltsin, not to me, yeah, to Yeltsin, he didn't deliver. And it's, I hope it's obvious not just for me and for you at the same time. If not obvious, we may go step by step by facts what was done in terms of constitution, in terms of a real principle mechanism of democracy. As far as my personal role is concerned, I understand that it is a choice between Primakov and Lushkov that time. Primakov, you know, pretended to be president, and Yeltsin Putin. And if even today I had the same choice, my alternative, my choice will be the same. Because I think that Primakov would follow the same way like Putin is doing, but much cleverer. And but it is the reason why it will be more dangerous. Okay. On the other hand, I just want to tell you, on the other hand, I think that the circle which we are doing now is natural. Because, and it's a good example, Ukraine, for that. Because the freedom which we got in the beginning of the 90s, we got, по-русски, это на блюдечке с голубой каемочкой, я не знаю, for nothing, yes? For nothing. Yeltsin and Gorbachev gave us freedom, yes? Nobody in general fight for that, as you remember. Okay, I heard that three people were killed. Okay, it's for sure, it's very bad, yes? But terrible, yes? But nevertheless, not a lot of people fight for that, yes? And it means that people even were not prepared for that. And what happened in Ukraine, it's a real revolution of mentality. And Russia, unfortunately, didn't pass through that, still now. And Ukrainian people, they pass through that. Because, you see, even today in Russia, they discuss that they may press Ukraine on parliament elections, which happened on March. And they may change them again the situation. No chance. No chance, because they are different now. Because they recognize that they are really independent and they are prepared to fight for that. And on the other hand, I think that I was part of this system, of Yeltsin's system. And for sure, I'm responsible for what happened. And maybe it's a reason why I'm still is not quiet.
Thank you. Chap in the gray.
Mr. Berezovsky, how would you evaluate the role of Ross Ucker and Erhor as an intermediary in the gas deal that was just struck between Ukraine and Russia? And how substantial do you think are the private interests of the Russian top political leadership in the company? And thus, how wise it was of Ukraine to strike a deal with such an intermediary and in such way to satisfy the private interests of that top political management in Russia?
I think what is the most important in this conflict between Russia and Ukraine about the gas, maybe the first time Russia recognized that Russia depends on Ukraine, not less than Ukraine depends on Russia. Okay, you may have nuclear bomb, but you don't have missiles. Okay, explode under your chair, this bomb, yes? you have a gas, but you don't have transportation system. Okay, heat your... And now it's absolutely clear that there is another point that empire and then Soviet Union created as a united state, and it's absolutely immoral to say Ukraine that you should pay this, because Ukraine have been independent never create so develop metallurgy industry, or so develop chemical industry, because they don't have natural resources, energetic resources for that. But if it's happened so, moral point, responsible of empire for the child, yes? Like we know about this country and approach of this country after British Empire was collapsed, and how they really tried to keep this integration, which even overseas, yeah? And as far as Rus-Ukr-Energo, I just know that Mogilevich is the key person of that. I know that top management of Gazprom and top management and top member of government of Kuchma involved in this company. How they share the, I don't know.
Okay. Gentleman in the yellow sweater.
Ms. Berezovsky, I've heard much which is very encouraging, and particularly your comment that we need to defend what we have in this country, which is one of the most highly centralized of the Western democracies, and is a great problem and, I believe, a great threat. I want to ask you if you recognize, as I believe, that the problem is not entirely one of changing mentality, as you have said, but particularly bearing in mind that mentality has led to people power and the overthrow of existing establishments from many years ago in the Philippines, and even now, within days of the change in the Ukraine, there was discord even amongst the leaders of that so-called insurrection. What appears to me to be missing is not another ideology or a psychological change, but a structure which is missing. That indeed the world has changed largely in the last
century. Could you focus it into a question? Because
We
have a forest
because
of
urbanization. And urbanization has separated people from their locality, and the possibility of exercising local power first is the first step to exercising power at higher levels. Now, we know that George Soros is working to encourage civil society.
Can you put the question?
Do you agree that that is a primary goal now, that we should be structuring localization to enable people to get a grip on power?
Right.
Thank you. And I've left an envelope with my proposition on the table in front of me.
No, I just want to tell you that my position is nevertheless maybe a little bit different. I think that for sure the basis for which qualities society is mentality. And for sure in the very precise time when society in general accumulate already the basis for changes of mentality, the leaders and organizations become absolutely important. But again, I think that as Ukraine demonstrates, because for sure Ukraine is very close mentally to Russian people, no doubt. As Ukraine demonstrates, Russia is absolutely prepared to make the principal step forward to democracy.
Thank you. Yep. Mic to the gentleman in the front.
Mr. Bravorsky, you know Chechnya very well, and I'd be very interested to hear your analysis of that. In particular, I think you had dealings with Shavel Basayev when he had official position, and you also. In particular, how reasonable is it to characterize Chechnya as part of the war on terror, which is something we hear quite often? And secondly, how the performance and behavior of the Russian army in Chechnya and the extent to which that makes matters worse, perhaps whether you have some hope that the Russian military might be transformed into something which would be a more useful instrument of Russian security policy.
You see, I don't want to make parallel between Chechnya and Iraq. For sure, Iraq was absolutely a totalitarian state, but Iraq was not a terror state, it's my understanding, before American aggression. The same Chechnya. I traveled in Chechnya even before, even in my young age. Yeah, and spent a lot of time in the Caucasus area and so on. And Chechens very flexible, integrated in social life people. And what happened in Chechnya, initiated by Russia, no doubt, by federal power, Chechens never were extreme Muslim, yes? They love very much money. They are very capable to work, very capable. And maybe you know that Chechens teams were very flexible to travel around of Soviet Union to build houses and so, a lot of houses built by Chechens and so. I think that if today there is a terror in Chechnya, no doubt, yeah? The source of this terror is the war which Russia started. But a level of terror, particularly international terror, is very, very low and very concentrated. For sure, Basayev is terror. For sure, what he have done in Beslan, and it's terrible and it's terror. But in mass, even of separatists, Basayev is not the hero that they want to follow that. And you know, there is Mr. Zakayev in this country who was granted political asylum. And it's very interesting that the court decision, the judge decision, classify what happened in Chechnya as a war. It means that the answer of Chechens was an answer to aggression. And I think it's very important for understanding. But for sure, what happened today in Chechnya, it's increased the terror base in Chechnya, like increased terror base in Iraq.
Yes, in the grey. I'll in the middle. Yes, this guy. I'll take some questions from the back after this because I'm aware it's easier to catch my eye in the front and may exclude some.
Good afternoon. You were talking a lot about independence and you were talking about a lot about democracy basically during this session. So I've got a question. So don't you think that it's much better for people, for example...
I'm sorry, the last question, the last sentence.
Don't you think it's much more better for people, for example, being in the USSR and being basically, let's say, dependent, but at the same time financially secure and being patriotic, than rather being in Yeltsin epoch and being financially unsecure, absolutely forgotten about their patriotism, and what's your thoughts about it?
First of all, my question is, first of all, I'm sorry, I just want definition. What means patriotism, for your understanding?
Patriotism is being basically to know your value, to know your value, to know your cultural value, and not being afraid to be in the country, not being afraid to say that I'm Russian somewhere outside Russia. Because basically, what happened during Yeltsin era?
In other words,
I just want to tell you that nevertheless, when you use patriotism, you connect it to nationality. You said Russian, yes, and it's big problem. It's one of the problem which I may try to discuss with you, but not in big audience because I don't think it will be so important for everybody to understand better what means patriotism. You know what I told precisely. It's so, no doubts, that the majority of population in Soviet Union were more happy that majority of population today and in Yeltsin time. But the point is that Russia is not a separate planet. If Russia would be a separate planet, maybe it's okay. But Russia is part of the Earth. And there are competitors around. And these competitors try to be more effective than Russia. And they won, unfortunately. They won just because they created the more effective system where bigger majority of people are happy. Because in this country, for example, bigger majority happy than proportionally that majority in Soviet Union, which were happy. This is the point. And it is reason why this system is more effective. I mean, market economy, real elections, democracy, than centralized political system and planning economy. That's it. This is reality, unfortunately.
Okay. Up on the right top front row, yes.
What does freedom of the press mean to you?
Sorry?
I'm sorry. What does freedom of the press mean to you?
I thought about it. I thought about it. And I tried to define it in terms which are clear for me. I think because, let's say, in democracy we have independence of different branches of power, we have market economy, and so on. So, but where to put independent mass media? In other words, free mass media, correct? Independent, free, the same, yes? Yeah, okay. And I think that independent, first of all, I think that independent mass media is necessary condition of democracy, and all the rest is sufficient condition of democracy. Because without mass media, you don't have, you are living like in black room. And if you put even smart one in the black room for a couple of years, I think he will not be so smart after. I think that that mass media are blood of democracy. It's our chance to communicate to each other and to know what you want to know. And without this necessary condition, democracy is impossible. It's my understanding. And moreover, I just want to tell you, and I think that mass media, people say that journalists are the first power. The first power. I think journalists are the first power. And they demonstrate many times, like impeachment in the United States, like elections in Russia, for example, and so.
There's a question in the middle, second row from the back, third row from the back.
Mr. Berezovsky, do you think Russia will ever have a democracy as long as it has oil? Because from my understanding, there are only two.
As long as it has oil.
No, I don't think so. I explain to you why. I'll give you example. because it's a lot of people think like that, revolution could happen only if economic situation is collapsing and so. Maybe even 50 years ago, it's so that economy was the basic factor of revolution, or to think about changes. But even let's take Ukraine example. The most growing economy in Europe, 12.6% during Kuchma time, last 2 years, 2003, 2004, 2002, 2008, 12%, or over 10%. And what? Real, typical revolution. From the bottom, not from the top. And I think it's not necessary condition of Russian of Russian changes is oil price.
Thanks. Another one from... Okay, first...
Okay, this is not more like a question, but like general wondering. I keep reflecting upon what you just said, and you said that during Yeltsin time, the constitution was a democratic constitution, and Yeltsin was such a democrat. And then you said that Putin was his successor, or he appointed him sort of like his successor. So is it democratic? What it has to do with democracy? It sounds like more monarchy, like when the queen appoints her son to be a whatever. So in my opinion, Putin had no obligation whatsoever to Yeltsin to continue his policy or whatever. I mean, this is just my opinion, but I wanted to ask you about it.
No, very nice opinion, and very at the same time it's a question. You know, once I spoke to Nazarbayev after his first election, and he was elected 80%. 80% support him and 20% against. And I spoke to him and I said, it's not look like democracy. He said, you see, if it would be Soviet time, I will get 99.9%. But I got just 80. It means that already on 20% we have democracy in Kazakhstan. Yeah? And I want to tell you that for sure, impossible, not in 1 year, not in 10 years, not in maybe even 100 years, to have the quality of democracy like we have in Great Britain. But what is important, that Yeltsin won against of Zyuganov in 96, yeah? Not using tanks, not using army, just for sure TV. Yeah, it was not like here. Yeah, nobody calculated how much Zyuganov, leader of communism, spent that time for mass media, and how much Yeltsin spent. Yes, for sure Yeltsin spent much, much more. And the same with Putin. I just want to tell you that Putin had a great opposition, as I mentioned before, as Primakov and Lushkov. Moreover, I don't know, did he really went in details in Russian history, in 99, no one in August had any doubts that Primakov already president of Russia. No one. All polls demonstrate that he's absolute leader. And Putin came from zero. Zero means zero, yes? Zero rating, yes? No one knows him. And he grows very, very quick. Again, without tanks, without arresting of opposition, without killing of opponents, and so on. Okay, this is quality of democracy in Russia. Very different from this country. But it's big step forward compared with what we had before. No, absolutely not correct. Absolutely not correct. And moreover, as I told you, almost 70% of governors who were at that time independent, they initially supported Primakov, and then they changed their mind. And not, again, under pressure of to be in jail or after pressure to be killed.
Question in the middle back there, yes, in
Hi, good evening. I wanted to ask you what your views are on Russia's influence over Belarus and if you're doing anything to support your position there ahead of the elections in March.
Russia has enormous influence to Belarus, no doubt. Like on all post-Soviet Union new countries, Russia has enormous influence. And at the same time, I think that Russia does not use this power to increase their value of, let's say, freedom in Belarus. And I think, moreover, Putin, in general, he understands well Lukashenko, and he will be pleased to do the same in Russia. Russians are bigger and more complicated, and so, and even today on press conference, Putin had a question, you all the time meet Lukashenko, and so, and how you may do that because he's dictator, he and so on. And Putin said, okay, but Belarus is very special for Russia. And Belarus never will be for France the same like Belarus for Russia, he answered to French journalists. And I think the same Belarusian people are thinking. And again, if Russia was moving to democracy, no doubt that Belarus refuse the dictate of Lukashenko. But the situation is different. And as far as me is concerned, I don't do anything for much elections.
Yes, in the orange shirt, sorry, the fourth row back.
Boris Abramovich, I'm from Turkmenistan, and I would like to know your opinion and how do you see the development of Central Asian countries, the democratic development in the next 5 or 10 years, and what should be the position of Russia towards the influencing these countries? Thank you.
I see, for sure I see difference between, let's say, condition and style of life and way of life of, let's say, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, and let's say way of life of Ukraine, and so. But again, the decisive power to define the direction of a political and economic life is Russia in this region. But for the last time, the big power, the big influential power in this region, become China. China become a real player, and you know what happened in Uzbekistan. When Uzbekistan asked American to withdraw the base, it was not game of Russia. It was game of China, and very successful game. And I think that the same happened in Kazakhstan in general. You know that Kazakhstan had signed the biggest oil contract with China and sold the China a big oil resources and so on. And I think that my understanding, if you ask me about future, yeah, even for 5 years, I think that West and China are strategic partner, are historical partner, not strategic, historical partner, and Russia is a bridge, and all this region is a bridge to create this historical unification. And I think to the contrary that it's a big problem with Middle East, big problem with Arab world, and I think it's the other story which doesn't have today any solution, as I understand.
Let's leave that question. The black. Yes, with scarf.
Good evening. Well, you've mentioned a few times tonight that you don't expect the current regime to last long, and this is certainly all very encouraging. But sort of people in the Kremlin have the second thoughts about that, and I would like you just to comment on the current ideology work that is going on in Russia with the works of Surkov, mainly with the youth organizations, you know, the Nashi, and also the fascist card that they're playing now. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the question.
Yeah.
Clear. I think that after Ukraine. Example, Kremlin recognized that the street is a big power. They didn't accept that. They didn't expect that. And they recognized that it's very complicated to put army against of people on the street. But to put civil people against of civil people is possible. And I think it's the story of Nasha is a preparation of kind of Nazi group to fight if street would be crowded against of Kremlin.
But do you think this is really an ideological strong power?
No. It's biggest problem of Putin compared with the Stalin, let's say, or with the communists. They don't have ideology at all. This is the biggest problem. And for sure, it's very attractive to build some kind of national ideology. On the other hand, it's absolutely dangerous because now Russia is multinational, multi-ethnic country.
Thank you very much. Don't you think that the change in mentality of the kind you're talking about will only take place after, well, when we, you and I, stop saying that the price that we paid for freedom was nothing as compared to the price they paid in the other countries, because it's not a relative value, but, just a value after all. When I would imagine that just for most of I'm a Russian myself, but I would imagine that most of those who come from a Western country, they were appalled in a way by the commentary of three lives lost, that being nothing at all.
I'm sorry. For sure, not because of you, because my language problem. Tell me.
Will
be excluded from the discussion.
In a question as well, more focused, because.
Хорошо. Мне, на мой взгляд, просто, наверное, смена ментальности в нашей стране произойдет только в том случае, если мы с вами прекратим говорить, что. Жертва, которую мы заплатили за демократию, три человека, ничего не значит.
Окей.
And the second question, if we were to, we've
got too many questioners to take double questions.
No, I understand well that the tearing of child is more important than anything more, but this is a theory. And we discuss about practice, yes. And practice is, when I said that three lives are nothing, it doesn't mean that I don't understand what means life of even one. I just discuss in terms of reality. People are not prepared to fight for freedom. This is a fact. People recognize at last, and they pass through the first barrier, that it's better to be dependent, but they are not prepared to fight for that. And it's fact, and I gave you example, that we lost 1 million people in Chechnya, and just several thousand people with balloons went to demonstrate. It's not a way. And the problem is not when we stop to speak that three lives are nothing. We understand that it's each life is unique, but it's really nothing, because people are not prepared to fight for their freedom. This is the point.
Okay. I think we'll take two more questions, and they are in the top row, the girl in the orange, and then in the centre. And then I think we'll have to close the meeting.
Hello. Okay, as a successful politician, and a sort of successful business person as well, would you give us students of mostly politics and business any advice for future?
As a successful politician, would you give advice to us students of politics and
your Yeah. Okay. They're absolutely different. Different. Criteria for success in business, for success in science, and for success in politics. To be successful in politics, political consultant, political technologist, politician. The most important point is will, not even intellect. And we know a lot of examples in history when not so clever people took, not got, Putin got power, took power, like for example Hitler, like for example Stalin, not so much intellectual, yes. We know much more intellectual than they are. But they took power, Lenin, for example. It means that the most important in political life is will. And according to my understanding and my definition, personal definition, will is trust convert to action. Belief convert to action. Maybe someone help me to translate correctly into English. Это убежденность, превращенная в действие.
Conviction.
Yeah. In other words, impossible to act strong among of million people if you don't believe in that. And I'm sure that Hitler believed in what he was doing, 100%. Like Stalin believed in that. And to be good scientist, you know better than me already, yes, what you should do, which kind of intellectual resource you should switch on, and to be businessman, it's a little bit combination, like to be scientist and to be politician. It's also you need to have strong will, and you should calculate. But again, my understanding is that to make money, you shouldn't be well-educated. But to spend money, correct, you should be educated.
Final question in the back front row. Yes.
Thank you for your talk. I was just wondering, I very much hope you're right that Ukraine has overcome a certain mental barrier, but how would you explain the significant lead of the party of the regions, Yanukovych's party, in the pre-election polls? Mm-hmm. And also, how do you see the next 5 years of relationships developing between Russia and Ukraine, especially with the taking into consideration the current crisis in the over the Black Sea fleet? Thank you.
The first question. I think that Yushchenko and his team they have done big mistake. It's impossible to win revolution and not to finalize the result of victory. And the result of the victory was very obvious. Yushchenko promised a lot, but people remember where, and again, every revolution create the overestimate system of expectation. It's nature. Every time all revolutionaries, they promised more than they able to deliver. It's nature. But after you won, you should to reduce the difference between expectation and reality. You may do it in two ways. Or to deliver something what you promised, or to reduce expectation. Yes? To minimize the delta. Yes? And unfortunately, Yushchenko had a lot of chance to realize some his obligations. The case of Gangadze, the case of poisoning himself, and falsification of elections, which is the most criminal state, action. Yeah, it's very simple because even highest court took a decision that it was falsification. Who falsified? Yanukovych and the other. It's absolutely clear. But the problem is that Yushchenko. To continue to answer to your question about what need to have politician, it's turned out that he doesn't have enough will. Only with Tymoshenko he has enough will. Yeah. No, it's reality. Yeah. And it's reason why for sure Yanukovych has a lot of power, which is nothing to destroy if Yushchenko really will deliver his obligation. Nothing to destroy. Yeah. I am not sure that he is prepared. But I think after the guest story, he learned a lot. He learned a lot. And maybe he will deliver that understanding that Yanukovych could take the strong position in parliament. But again, I think that the basic problem is solved. The population is very different. And in positive way, not in negative way, like it was 1.5 years ago. As far as Russia and Ukraine, historical brothers, no chance to split in forever, or even if Ukraine will become part of Europe, it will be so positive for Russia, because it speed Europe to accept Russia as a part of Europe, and speed Russia to become member of Europe. And moreover, I even wrote the article that during revolution that the future of Russia is solved in Ukraine now. Yes? And Ukraine now demonstrates the vector for Russia of movement.
Well, thank you very much. I think we must bring the meeting to a close now. Mr. Berezovsky has answered questions for over an hour after his talk in a very
less than our president. We spent just
well. It's been a very vigorous and frank discussion, and I'm grateful for the way in which he responded to questions, both those searching questions on issues of post-Soviet development and also his own his own role in those and his perspectives on future, on the future trajectory of this part of the world. We will watch this space. It's certain we're in a time of transformation in one form or another. And in the spirit of debate here at the LSE, I thank Mr. Berezovsky for sharing his views.
Thank you very much.